Hey, Lillian. I was so hoping Chuck could be with me today because he brings a completely different element to everything we experienced in the last 3 weeks. And his take on everything is so unique and so precious in so many ways. We saw it happen there in Africa and in Italy. I'm overwhelmed with all the things we've experienced. And I'm happy to be home. It's fun traveling with somebody who has Parkinson's because you get VIP treatment. We got carried all the step of the way, and getting on the plane, you're taken up by a forklift. And you don't have to go through any lines. You don't have to stand in any passport control. They do it all for you. So that was the wonderful part of the trip. And Chuck held up really well, and he's able to, you know, walk holding on when his strength gives out onto the seats of the airline. So it worked out perfect. We had no trouble getting on and off. And when his strength returns, he just waltzes off. He's no problem walking. But it comes and goes these days. And any of you who are familiar with Parkinson's know how that happens. But we thank God for all these transitions in our lives. And before I share a few thoughts of what I wanted to share with you about transition, I'll just share a little bit about our trip, because I've been there 5 times to Niger, and always, of course, try to stop in Italy on our way home to see our other children that are working there. So we got to know a lot of the people, a lot of the children. Some of them are still there because of their extensive operations. And the one in particular that comes to mind is Aramatu, who came to the hospital with both legs completely turned around, walking on the tops of her feet with both legs, and made a fun of all her life, called the turtle, because the way she walked. And she was sent to Niger for operations. They did amazing operations where they cut the bone below the knee, and with a tourniquet on the top and bottom of the leg, they turn it 1 centimeter every four times a day, and until the leg is completely turned around, then we rejoin the bone. And we got to meet her the last time we were there, and they brought her back. She went home to Mali, but they brought her back because when she came home, the same town that called her turtle and laughed at her and mocked her the way she walked stood around her in amazement for hours. They could not stop taking their eyes off of her. It was such a powerful testimony of what God, with the help of doctors and medicine, can do, or doctors with the help of God can do. And it was just a powerful statement to the whole community. She came back to the hospital because they want to strengthen the butt leg some more by taking bones from her hip and placing them in the legs and putting that together so that the legs will be stronger and not bow anymore. She has become the missionary in that hospital. She gave her heart to the Lord. She was so turned on by the love and the compassion and what God can do in her situation. Someone gave her a Bible in her language. The Bambara language. And she read it. And anytime I brought up or mentioned any scripture to her, she quoted it right off to me. Could have been from the Psalms, could have been from the New Testament. She was very familiar already with her Bible. The hospital used to have just the staff come in for a chapel hour, but after she gave her heart to the Lord, she made everybody come, all the mothers, all the children. She's actually quite a ringleader. She's a real feisty little girl, 20 years old, and she's had to stick up for herself. So she knows how to gather a crowd. They're always in her room because she's the happy one. She's the fun one to be around. She brings all the mothers, all the children to the chapel hour, and they all sit there and hear the gospel morning after morning. And it's just an amazing thing to see. And the other little child that we saw again was Aminu, who as a baby fell in, there's so much cooking in oil on the ground. They cook with pieces of wood and a big pot of oil, and they do so much cooking like this. Even in town on the streets, they're cooking food for people to come by and eat. And it's so easy to trip and fall into these pots of oil, which is what happens to many of the children. And little Aminu came with his head completely attached to his shoulder and his arm to his body, because after he burned himself so badly, they just wrapped him up and left him like this. And so his skin had grown together. So after multiple operations, his arm is free, his head is free. They even fixed it so his eye wouldn't droop, because he couldn't even close his eye. He was tearing all the time, but that was fixed. Multiple operations. And when we walked into the hospital, Aminu had not met my husband yet. And he made a beeline straight to him and just hugged him tightly and wouldn't let go. And Chuck was moved also, and the two of them were just standing there hugging and holding until Chuck was just weeping. And as they're holding each other, we learn that his father passed away while he's in the hospital, and he hasn't been able to see him for the 7 months he's been there. So God was doing all these divine little things that just brought joy to our hearts through our tears. And we were just grateful to be there for these experiences, to see the work going on and the people that are reached, the hundreds of children that are bused in from thousands of miles away and are given a chance and a new life, just to have a hair lip fixed or a burn cleaned up or a limb repaired. And it was just a powerful experience. And so we're grateful for what God is doing there. From Italy, we went, of course, with our grandson Josh, Leon, who is now 3 years old, and still praying that the adoption goes through completely, and so that they will be able to travel freely with him. And from there we went to Italy, and as I said earlier, from the ridiculous to the sublime, as far as wealth goes, from poverty to riches, and but the same poverty of soul is there. And Matt and Sharona work with Gordon College Extension Program. They run the Extension Program there in Orvieto. And they have a group of students that come, of course, every semester. And they minister to those students, often not just through education that they're there for, but through counseling and personal input into the lives of these students. Many of them from very wealthy homes, but also very needy, just as needy as the children in Africa in their souls. And many of them meet the Lord in a very fresh way when they're in this program. And thanks to all the prayers that go up for all these endeavors. And of course, Luca, those of you who remember, we prayed for Luca, who lost his wife at childbirth, and their fourth child. And he came to Israel with the four children, the newborn, who was 4 months at the time that they came. So many of you met him when he spoke here. And he is thriving. Magdalena, who was born when her mother passed away, suffered brain damage at birth and actually was revived and brought back to life. And they were afraid there would be extensive and permanent brain damage. She has been given a clean bill of health. She is absolutely perfect and in every way, and it was just a joy to be with them and have dinner with them and have them at the home. And I was hoping to have my photos ready, but I got in at midnight and my internet wasn't working, and so I could have shown you some of these photos, but I can show them later. It was a joy. That was such a joy to see Luca with his four children and little Magdalena, who is thriving. So from that, we came home, and I had to smile when I listened to the sermon last week by Randall, because he talked about, he entitled it actually, Blessings in Ambiguity. And that was exactly something I wanted to speak about this morning. The God's ambiguity in transition. And there's so much of it. It grabs a hold of all our lives. From the moment we leave heaven to become part of an earthly family, our lives are marked by transition from infancy to where we find ourselves today. There was a song written by Johnny Rivers back in the 70s. Those of you who might remember, or you who know who he was, a rock and roll singer, whose personal assistant happened to be a dear friend of ours, Sidney Lasker, who was a Jewish believer. And he actually donated $25,000 to the building of this chapel when we had the fire back in 1982 due to that connection. But he wrote a song called Permanent Change. And the last line of his song was, "The only thing that's permanent is change." It's going to happen to all of us. It comes. Change is inevitable. Some of us thrive on change. Some of us find it stressful, the reason for anxiety, but transition is inevitable, and we have a choice at each juncture, each transition, to allow fear to take hold or to trust God's divine workings through our transition. Any number of scriptures come to mind. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. I'll be your shelter, strong tower. All these promises from the Lord in His Word are for us. I'll guide you with my eye. All our needs are according to His riches. The promises are endless and true, but it's often the path to those promises that is ambiguous. There's that raging storm, there's the valley of the shadow of death, the general vicissitudes of life that come our way, that seek to derail us, rob us of our joy and our trust. We can look at any one of the Bible characters, Moses, Abraham, King David. They all had incredible transitions in their life, difficult situations, insurmountable sometimes to the natural eye. And not least of all, is Mary, who birthed the Savior of the world. When the angel came and said, "Hail Mary," and gave her the beautiful proclamation he gave her, all hell broke loose. Her fiancé wanted to get rid of her. The town was gossiping. She had to leave on a donkey in her 9th month of pregnancy. I don't even want to travel in my 9th month in an air-conditioned car. I can't even imagine going on a donkey miles and miles and miles in my 9th month of pregnancy. And there she had to give birth in a very uncomfortable situation. 2 years later, with a toddler running for their lives again to protect his life. Transition. It happens even when God's promises are there. I can't even imagine what might have even crossed Mary's mind to do about the situation. To maybe fix it, change it, alleviate it. But Mary didn't go there. But in all these transitions, in these ambiguities, it's the truth, God's word, that sets us free from those anxieties, those stresses, those fears, especially in time of transition. It's our choice to believe that all of God's promises are true, yea and amen. And may God help all of us to allow the ambiguities of our times of transition to become His joy-filled surprises. Thank you.
You'll need to